The walls of Jericho went round and round the whole city. The walls were tall, the walls were thick. How would God's people ever get in? Joshua's thoughts went round and round inside his head. He was the leader of God's people now that Moses was dead, but how could he lead them into Jericho? The sword of the Lord swung round and round the angel's head. God will lead you into Jericho, said the angel to Joshua. He has a secret plan. All you have to do is trust him. The soldiers of Israel gathered round and round their leader, Joshua. He told them the angel's plan. He didn't leave out one bit. The soldiers were amazed. So the army of Israel marched round and round the walls of Jericho, one round each day. 6 days in a row. And the people of Jericho laughed. Why are they marching round and round the walls of Jericho? Is this a parade? Is it some kind of trick? They'll never beat us this way. But when the army marched round and round on the seventh day, they marched round once. They marched round twice. They marched round Jericho 7 times. Then they raised their voices, they blew their trumpets, hey! And the walls came crashing down. Hey! The people of Israel danced round and round the ruins of Jericho. God is our helper, they sang and they shouted. He will never let us down. Everybody. He will never let us down. Thank you. Well done. Great cast. Hey.
The words "follow that" leap to mind at this juncture. I just want to share a few thoughts in a moment about that wonderful story and answer the question, what a great story, but what does it mean for us today here in 21st century Oakley? But for those year two and below, and anybody who thinks, oh no, not Rob Marsh again, there's activities on the carpet down here which Christine's going to lead. Actually, they look so interesting, I might give this a miss and just go down and make them myself. So please feel free to come down on the carpet here, that would be great. I remember the day as if it were yesterday. The day I took my driving test for the second time, actually. And I appreciate that some people are sitting here thinking, oh no, not another one of these stories of his from the mists of time, you know, where he obviously learnt to drive in a Robin Reliant or something like that. In actual fact, I was 34 when I learnt to drive, so not that long ago, honest. And that might seem quite old to learn to drive, and there were a number of reasons why I hadn't learned to drive until that time. No one in my immediate family had a car, for a start, so there was no pressure on me. I lived near where I worked, all my friends were nearby, so I didn't really need to learn to drive. But the main reason, if I was honest, was I was afraid. I have a rather long named condition called dyspraxia. Big word for a Sunday morning. Basically means I can't coordinate properly. And I thought the whole idea of getting into a car and making my left leg do something and my right arm do something was ridiculous, so I just put it off. But I got to this age where I realised that I was moving up to Basingstoke and everything was going to be a lot further away, so I thought, I need to learn to drive. I'd love to look you in the eye and say it was the most delightful experience of my life, but it wasn't. I failed the first time horribly. To make matters worse, in between the first test and the second, I stalled my car going up a very steep hill. If I had a list of the most embarrassing experiences in my life, it would be top five. There's a huge queue of cars behind me. The guy in the car immediately behind me had a face like a beetroot, and I could see the veins pulsing in his head. And, of course, the more flustered that you get, are you going to be able to get the car started? No, you're not. And so I went to my driving instructor, and I said, Tony, please reassure me that on my driving test there are no steep hills. And he said, relax. He said, that hill you stalled on, not on the driving test route. He said, the only hill, he said, on the driving test route is Black House Hill. Actually, it didn't really look like that, but... He said, and at which point I went white, right, because it was quite simply the steepest hill anywhere in Kent, as far as I was concerned. He said, but don't worry. He said, I have been, he said, teaching people to learn to drive, he said, for 20 years, and no one has ever had to go up Black House Hill. He said, a driving test instructor would have to be some kind of lunatic to make you want to go up Black House Hill. Never going to happen. So anyway, the day of the test dawned, I was shaking like a leaf, but it all seemed to go remarkably well. There I was going along, and I did all the manoeuvres, which was the bit I was really afraid of, and we were gently pootling down Folkestone Seafront, and I thought... The only slight worry here is to get back to the test centre, you have to go uphill. But I know full well that there's some very nice roads, gentle inclines with sheep grazing in the pastures either side. So it was all going to be lovely. And so the driving instructor said, take a left, Mr. Marsh. Take a right, Mr. Marsh. At which point, I don't know anybody's ever had this experience before, a sense of dread swept through me, because I thought, if he says to me, take another right, if you pardon the rather technical phrase, I'm reet stuffed, because that's Black House Hill. And then he seemed to sort of look at me, and his face seemed to change into some kind of horrible monster, and he went, and now a right. And there it was. And my immediate reaction was, oh! Have you ever felt overwhelmed? Have you ever felt daunted and scared? I think everybody here this morning will have felt like that. Maybe there's something looming up on the horizon that we're really not looking forward to. There might be a teacher at school that we really don't like and we don't like their lessons. There may be exams on the horizon. There may be people that we have to go to school with or we have to work with that we just don't get on well with. Maybe we've got money worries. Maybe we've got to go to the doctor soon and we're really not looking forward to it. Maybe there's a part of our job that we don't like. Maybe there's someone in our family who's really struggling with something and we're really worried about it. And it might be something that's looming up on the horizon, or it might be something that we have to face each day. And a bit like sitting at the bottom of that hill, we think, how on earth are we going to get through this? Either as a one-off or all the time. Now, the people of Israel must have felt like that at the beginning of this story. They'd been in Egypt for years and years in slavery, having to do what someone else says, and then hooray! God led them out of Egypt, but boo! They were then stuck in the wilderness for 40 years because they couldn't do what God said. But then at last they come to Canaan, and Canaan was the promised land. And they thought, this is going to be fantastic because God promised us this land 500 years ago when Abraham was alive. Hooray! But there was just one itsy-bitsy problem. There was actually people already in it. And they were very strong people, very militarily capable people. Good job I got my false teeth in this morning. And, of course, they had... by the way, I found this picture on the internet. Now, I actually believe that's not the walls of Jericho. That's Carnarvon Castle. But never mind. But Jericho was an amazingly formidable city. I've actually written down here what archaeologists believe it probably looked like. Apparently, it was a stone wall, 11 foot high, 14 feet high. Doesn't sound that high, though, does it? Not really, not that high. But then after that, there was a smooth stone slope that went up 33 degrees for 35 feet, and there was then another incredibly high wall. It was impregnable. And the people of Israel were not an army. They were people that sort of wandered around places. They were nomads. How on earth were they going to break into the city? And if they didn't, they were finished. And yet, as we saw, they marched around the walls of Jericho, and what happened to the walls? They fell down. And they fell down because God was with them. And I believe very much in all of these things that we face on a day-to-day basis. That this story, and the Bible is very clear about this, is that God is with us. God goes before us, he stands beside us, and he walks behind us. God isn't someone who's sitting up there on a cloud somewhere with a harp going, oh, look at all those people down there. Oh, that's rather interesting, isn't it? In whatever situation we are in, God loves us so much. He cares for us so much, and he is right there in that situation. There is nothing about your life, Sylvia, that God doesn't know about. And there's no situation that we are in that God isn't right there with us. And he will bring down those walls. It doesn't matter how scared we are, how afraid we are, we can rest assured that God is with us. But there's another interesting thing about this story. The walls of Jericho didn't fall down because they had dodgy foundations, and when the people of Israel marched round six times, the walls went, argh! Should have got a decent builder in from Basingstoke. No, the walls fell down because the people obeyed God. And I believe that's the same today, that it is so important that we obey what God is telling us to do. God is always with us. But amazing things will happen in our life when we do what God tells us to do. Even if sometimes it's barking mad. Anybody here an expert in military strategy? I'm not, but I can say with absolute surety that the strategy that God told the people of Israel to do was crazy. The accepted way of breaking into a heavily walled city in those days was either to storm it, that was a bit scary, or to lay siege to it. It wasn't to walk round in silence. And yet the people of Israel obeyed God and the walls came down. And there are times when God will tell us to do things that are absolutely crazy. For example, God will always tell us to pray in every situation. He is with us, but he wants us to ask for him to come into situations and help us. And actually, sometimes that's possibly the last thing on my mind. You know, I'm busy, or I'm too busy being worried, and all this kind of thing. But if I pray, God will answer prayer. As my mother once said, if you don't ask, you don't get. As I sat there at the bottom of that hill, I yelled out in my mind, Lord, please help. And I got up that hill and I passed my driving test. I even got through the truly terrifying moment where halfway up the hill, a mobility scooter pulled out in front of me. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And there's so many other examples of some of the things that the Lord tells us to do are a bit mad. Loving your enemies is not something that most people do, but God always calls us to do those things. And when we obey, even when it seems crazy, amazing things will happen. One last story. I was at school with a guy called Paul Turner. And Paul was a lovely bloke, and he was very good at sport, and he was very good at maths. And he planned to go off to university to become a PE teacher. And everything was going fine. And about 6 months into the sixth form at school, Paul became a Christian. And he'd come along to our youth group, I think initially because his mates were coming, and he didn't have much else to do on a Friday. But it was brilliant. And after about another year, Paul felt that God was saying to him to change his career and instead of becoming a PE teacher, to become a minister. Now, there was one slight problem with that. Paul wasn't particularly good at anything that involved a considerable amount of study. He dropped religious studies when he was about 14 years old. And he went along to the careers teacher and he said to the careers teacher, he said, I don't want to be a maths teacher any longer. He said, I want to be a minister. And the careers teacher looked him in the eye and said those words of comfort that we all long to hear, you're mad. And so he said to Paul, why do you want to do this? And I've got to be honest with you, everybody, I don't think I would have had the courage to say this. He turned around to the careers teacher, who was a fearsome man with the thickest rimmed glasses I'd ever seen, and said, because I believe that's what God wants me to do. If you look on the internet, you will find the website for the River of Life Community Church in Haverhill, somewhere outside Cambridge. It was set up about 25 years ago. It's one of the most thriving churches in Cambridgeshire. It does all sorts of wonderful work. People come to know Jesus regularly. They do amazing things in the community. Their pastor, who set the church up in 1999, is a man called Paul Turner. And yes, it's the same Paul Turner. Paul obeyed God and God blessed him amazingly. We face many difficult situations. We face a lot of things that make us afraid and make us scared. And God says, fear not tomorrow, because he's already there. And it doesn't matter what we're going through, God will always be there. And if we obey God in those situations, the walls will come down. Thank you.